This is Saturday Morning Live, and this is Radio Regent, and up next is Diasporic Music via Norman Otis Richmond, which is heard every Sunday, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m., and we go to that now with Norman Otis Richmond.
For a radio network being broadcast and simulcast around the world, including on WMXP 95.5 FM in Greenville, South Carolina.
I feel sorry.
I believe.
Uhuru. You are listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. My name is Norman Otis Richmond, a.k.a. Jalali, a.k.a. the Bluesologist, speaking to you from the not-so-great White North here in Toronto, Canada. And we kick the show off with the music of Johnny Taylor. And he did a song called I Believe in You, You Believe in Me. And I remember I used to play that song, and my mother would always say, there's a line in there that says, anytime you go against your own mother. And my mother used to tell me, she says, Norman, he didn't say that, did he? I said, yes, he did. And she was a big Johnny Taylor fan, but didn't like that song. But we are going to be playing some music from Johnny Taylor's son, I guess, very, very, very shortly. But this is Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio, and we have a very action-packed show for you. We're going to be speaking to the real son, and she has a CD launch coming up, and we will be giving you information on that CD launch party, which is going to take place on January the 31st of this year, and she will explain that situation. Son, the real son, and first of all, I would just like to ask you, how are you doing today?
Hi, Norman. I'm good. Thank you for having me on.
Okay, now you are doing shooting a video on January 31st at the how do you pronounce the space?
The placebo? No, I'm in the middle of shooting my video right now. I'm on set shooting a music video for my single Walk Away. On the 31st is a CD release, CD launch that I'm doing for my new album called Horizon that the single is coming out of. And the place on the 31st is called Placebo Space. It's actually a really, really beautiful spot, very artistic, little cozy lounge down by Etobicoke and Lakeshore and Islington to 877 Lakeshore West. And but right now, I'm shooting a music video.
All right, now the tickets are $20 in advance, $25 at the door, and a CD is included. Mm-hmm. And you're launching it on the Lunar New Year's, and you are, I guess people would like to know, we've played your single a couple of times on Diasporic Music and got a pretty good response. How would you describe the type of music you do?
The genre of music, I would describe it as being acoustic soul. The content of my music in terms of more specifically, it comes directly from my heart, my lived experience. As a woman, as a woman of color, as somebody who has lived through various different things that I am now taking a concerted effort to heal from. So the CD and the creation of the CD was something that came about because I was writing these pieces of music, these songs, that were almost like affirmations to myself, things that I wanted to remind myself of, things that I knew that I needed to strive towards, things like self-love, things like, you know, acknowledging the need for growth and how to get there and acknowledging the need to embrace myself for who I am. And also, the single itself, Walk Away, is a song that I wrote in imagining myself going back in time and speaking to my mom and urging her to walk away from the abuse that she was facing from my father. And so that is a very significant song in terms of me coming to grips with a piece of my story that is also my mother's story and the story of many women everywhere. And I come from a long lineage of women who have been abused, who have, you know, been survivors, I guess, of gender-based violence. And this weekend, actually, I'm on set here shooting the music video for it, and I have my theater group, No Man's Land, and I have a few people who have who are actors to kind of play out pieces of my mom's story and my story. That's kind of where everything stems
that's
from.
That's where you're at now. You live in an area called the Jane and Finch area. In Toronto, Canada, and you know, Jane and Finch is gets a bad reputation. I guess it's would be described as the so-called ghetto, one of the so-called ghettos in Toronto. What was it like growing up there? And what could you talk about the mixture of people that are there now? What type of people make up the Jane and Finch right now, and how do you feel about living in that area?
Jane and Finch is the world, actually. It's, you get people from every part of the world gather here in Jane and Finch. We're one of the most multicultural places in Toronto and Canada. So, you know, one of the things that we say about Canada is, like, you know, it's one of the most multicultural places, or Toronto is one of the most multicultural places. When I talk about multicultural, you know, come to Jane and Finch, there's over, you know, 70 languages that are spoken here by the residents.
70?
Yeah, over 70 languages that are spoken here by people who live here. And Jane and Finch is an area that is highly stigmatized in the news. You know, anytime something negative happens in the community, people want to shed light on it and come in, and it's almost very invasive the way that that things happen in terms of when violence happens. But there's a lot of positive things that also happen in the community. There's a lot of resilience. There's a lot of people who are organizing. You know, there's people, there's groups like Jane and Finch Action Against Poverty. There's groups like No Man's Land. There's movements like Lost Lyrics, you know, and people who are on the grassroots level working for change. But, you know, those are not necessarily the things that are highly publicized in the media. I think there's a lot of misperceptions about the community and what it actually means to live here. I myself, I've lived in the community for about 8 years now. And before that, I was born in Korea, and I lived in, you know, more rural areas around Ontario when I was younger. And so I've seen different spectrums of also what it means to live in Canada. I've lived in areas where I had to pass by farms and cows to get to school, and I've lived in areas where, you know, it's rows upon rows of cookie cutter suburban houses, and I've lived in Jane and Finch, where, you know, you have a lot of over policing and you have a higher level of poverty, right? And people are dealing with a lot of stigmatization and racialized stigmatization and you know, living within
so you
that.
You lived in urban and rural Canada.
Yeah. And one of the things that I've learned is that you know, white supremacy and racism and systemic oppression is everywhere. It just takes form in different ways. Right. And we are all impacted by the system that we live in. But for me, I think one of the most revolutionary things you can do, one of the things that you can do in terms of really getting at systemic change is healing. I think that's one of the deepest things you can do for the movement. You know, one of the things that I noticed was working in the community for a long time, realizing that everybody is hurt, everybody's walking around damaged, everybody has been subject to trauma, to hundreds of years of legacies of violence and abuse on all levels, you know, regardless of what racial background you are, regardless of what your class background you are, because I've been in those various different spaces and looked into the eyes of people, and the damage has been done to everybody on every level, regardless if you're the richest person in the world or the poorest person in the world. And we've been trying to, like, this much poison.
I'm speaking with the real son, who is doing a CD launch party. She has a new CD coming out called Horizon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, coming, how do you see the whole question of the unity of Bandan people? When I say Bandan people, I'm talking about, there was a Bandan conference in 1954, where basically it was Asian and African unity. It was the Chinese, the Egyptians, and I think Marshal Tito was there from Yugoslavia. And Yugoslavia is, contrary to popular belief, is, you know, the masses of people, the majority of the people in Yugoslavia are Muslim. But how do you see the whole question of African and Asian unity in 2014?
I think in terms of the reality of what needs to happen is that, you know, obviously we need more unity across the different lines that have been drawn. But I think people also need to realize that the unity has existed for a long time, in terms of, if you look back, and if you go to certain parts of East Asia, and you go into parts that haven't been touched by Western development, you'll find Africanoid people, you know, in terms of Canada and the movements that we're building here in the Western world, you know, I think one of the things that needs to happen is a confronting of the reality that we walk with different levels of privilege.
Right.
We walk with different levels of how the system has impacted us. You know, I think as Asian people, there have been a lot of racial discrimination. If you look back in terms of like the Chinese head tax and how that has.
The Chinese head tax that took place in Canada, where Chinese had to pay a certain head tax to get in the country, right? I'm just, because we're talking to people around the world, you know.
Right, like discriminatory immigration policies towards East Asian folks, you know, that happened, right? So that's also a part of the system of white supremacy that we live in. But at the same time, you know, that Asian people have been subject to racial discrimination, we've also benefited a lot from the system that has been created and have been more easily accepted into white spaces, right? And as an Asian woman, I can walk into certain spaces and not be questioned. Whereas
an African
man walking in, walking
African
into
man would have a problem, right?
Would get interrogated,
right?
And I would not be asked a single question. So it's also realizing, and if we're talking about true unity, right, we have to acknowledge that there's different levels of privilege and there's different levels of access. And with that, with any allyship, it's having a firm understanding of the power dynamics that are at play so that you know how to leverage whatever resources you have available to you, and also an acknowledgement of the reality that we live in a system that is not only white supremacist, but very anti-black. There's a lot of anti-black racism that has also been internalized by the Asian communities, right? I was disowned by my father because my partner, who I was with at the time, was an African man.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So the reality of anti-black racism is, and he lives in Korea, right? He's not even in North America. So the reality that the legacy is worldwide in terms of anti-black racism, so that if we really want to have true unity in fighting the struggle, then there needs to be a firm acknowledgement of that, I think.
Let me say this, and I really wanted to talk about your the music, but before we do that, I wanted to basically say that I remember a time when the Koreans, Korea's divided by imperialism, North and South Korea. I think it's the Democratic People's Republic of Korea is the northern part. But at one time, the Black Panther Party had a very good relationship with the Koreans, and Eldridge Cleaver's only daughter, pardon me, was actually born in North Korea, and her was named by Kim Il-sung's wife. And I remember there's a great speech by Maurice Bishop, and he would always big up the North Koreans because the Koreans were supporting the struggle for in Grenada. But what are your views on the whole question of the unification of the Koreas?
I think reunification would be a beautiful thing, you know, but not, I don't think it would be possible until we have the fall of U.S. imperialism. you know, North Korea and South Korea only started existing 60 years ago.
Right.
Before the 50s, it was one Korea for hundreds of years.
Right.
We were one people. It's just that, you know, when the struggle or the war between communism and capitalism fell upon the entire globe, Korea was one of those places that got divided in a result of not just domestic politics, but of international, of being influenced by international politics, of you know, the two big winners after World War II was U.S. and the USSR. So, you know, and then there was an entire dialogue happening, right, around the world about these two different ideologies. And right now, with the U.S. and capitalism having clearly won out that war or that stalemate, whatever you want to call it, right, that divide, and has successfully become a new imperial power upon the entire world, you know, I don't think reunification for Korea is possible until that system no longer exists. Korea is one of the most strategic military bases. You know, there's U.S. Military bases all over Korea, all over the Eastern world, actually, but very strong in South Korea. And
right.
Their strong presence is one of the biggest, I think, barriers to having true unification. You know, and I'm not necessarily a political science expert, but I have been back to Korea and spoken to anti-imperialist groups and, you know, had that conversation about reunification with various different people from the Bay Area to, you know, to Korea and to Toronto. And it's a global problem, but with very specific consequences,
right.
One of which being, you know, reunification is kind of one of those things.
I'm speaking with The Real Son, and we wanted to talk about your CD launch party and what is on the rest of your album. Now, you do acoustic soul and, you know, black music is a part of the whole acoustic soul in terms, you know, a lot of, you know, we used to say in the Black Music Association that black music is universal, like since 18, the Fifth Jubilee Singers went to Europe in 1873 and played in what was then Russia, and they played all over Europe and basically knocked people's socks off. We also, then you had the jazz came along and basically knocked people's socks off. Then you had R&B that came along, and Otis Redding was bigger than Elvis Presley. But before that, I have to mention Calypso. Calypso basically swept the world before R&B. Then, you know, reggae swept the world. And today, hip-hop has swept the world. I've heard hip-hop from Korea. I've heard hip-hop mm-hmm. from Myanmar,
worldwide.
Burma. All it's a worldwide movement.
Yes.
So basically, let's talk about your what's on your new CD.
Well, acoustic soul is definitely a genre that has roots in black music. My biggest inspirations in terms of the genre is India Airey and Jill Scott. You know, these ladies are part of my influence as an artist. And so, you know, definitely need to pay homage to that and give thanks to all the people who came before that made it possible for me to even have access to this style of music as a channel for myself to tell my story. You know, because for me, the essence and the beauty of the art form and the essence of the beauty of creating is being able to tell your stories, being able to share your story, being able to share those authentic, those deeper pieces of yourself. And, you know, for me, the music that I've created for this album are pieces of myself. They're pieces of my story. They're pieces of resilience that I needed to have for myself, or that I felt that, you know, something I need to strive towards, or, you know, speaking to certain things like, the song Walk Away, like I mentioned already, speaks to my mother's story of being abused by my father. And a lot of the album speaks to, you know, for example, the song Believe. You know, it starts off with like, I believe in you. Do you believe in yourself too? Strength comes from within. Breathe a positive energy. Cast out the demons from your past. Your moment has come at last. Yes, throw your fears away. Spread your wings and fly away. So, with my expression of that was actually a couple of the songs are songs that I wrote speaking to myself, really. You know,
so
telling myself words that I felt like I needed to hear. You know, do you believe in yourself?
Do
you believe in yourself? Do you believe you can, you know, do these things? Because there's so much negativity around that sometimes you need those pieces to bring you that energy, to bring you that encouragement, that inspiration to say, you know what? I am strong. I am resilient. I do believe in myself, you know, and I refuse to be cut down, and I refuse to become a quote-unquote victim. You know, I refuse to allow my experiences that are steeped in very, very real traumas control me or dominate over my reality. I'm more than that, and I know I'm stronger than that, and I know my spirit is much bigger than that.
So you're not doing any covers on this CD?
No, no covers at all. No, they're all original music. All the production, you know, all the instrumentation is live music.
What is your instrumentation? What instrumentation are you using on the CD?
So basically vocals and piano, which I play, and guitar, which I play. So the recordings of piano and guitar on the album are also of my creation and playing. And then I have a bass guitar and percussion. So it's a very intimate sound.
It's almost like, what do they call like that? What do they call that when you do the sort of in-house type of thing? You know, when people record an album, then they do it sort of, what do you call that? when you just do acoustic CD. Lauryn Hill did one, you know, where she basically had only did acoustic music. If there's a title for that, what do you call that?
Unplugged.
Unplugged.
That unplugged album by Lauryn Hill is my favorite. I even like that better than Miseducation, to be honest with you, because it's so raw,
right.
You know. And when you have that intimacy with an artist, where they essentially bring you into their world, it's something very deeply spiritual, I think, because you're now, you know, you've stripped away all the lights, you've stripped away all the, you know, the extra things, and it's just you with the music in its purest kind of form, I think, in terms of it really being a way of communicating a message that's coming from deep within yourself. You know,
all right, I'm speaking to the real son. I really don't want to cut you off, but we're running out of, you know, we got a time constraint because you're shooting a video.
Yes,
and
I'm on set.
Shooting a video, and we are we only have a half an hour, and I basically wanted you to add anything else you wanted to add, and as we say, we will see you in the whirlwind. But before we see you in the whirlwind, I would just basically like to get your parting thoughts, not your final thoughts, because we'll definitely be talking to you again.
Okay, great. I would say if you want to be in touch with me or know more about me or find out more about my music, you can look me up on therealsun.com, therealsun.com. And I've actually been writing a lot recently and blogging about something that I've been doing, which is 27 Days of Healing. An intentional journey, a block of time that I've set out for myself to really interrogate and look deep into myself and around the idea of healing and what does it mean to come in, to be an embodiment of balance and being healthy. So that's also on the website at therealsun.com. You can also look up hashtag 27 days of healing, 27, you know, and then Days of Healing in letters on Twitter and Instagram. And you can also find me on Facebook under The Real Sun. On the 23rd, I have a show coming up where I am doing the album launch for Horizon. And that will be taking place at Placebo Space, 2877 Lakeshore Avenue West in Toronto. And look out for my music video, Walk Away. I'm on set right now shooting the video, so I need to go. My crew is waiting for me. But that will be dropping within the next 2 weeks as well, before the 31st. So if you look up therealsun.com, that will be kind of centrally where you can get in touch with me. And thank you, Norman, for having me. It's always a pleasure to speak with you.
All right, thank you. And you are listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio, and I would like to thank The Real Sun, and we will see you on January the 31st.
Thank you.
Take care.
Peace.
You're listening to the Uhuru Radio Network being broadcast and simulcast around the world, including on WMXP 95.5 FM in Greenville, South Carolina. Uhuru, you are listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio, and welcome to the second hour of Diasporic Music. We're getting ready to pay tribute to Amiri Baraka, but before we pay tribute to Amiri Baraka, we wanted to play The Real Sun's song called Walk Away.
Ooh, ooh, yeah. Baby girl, you lived for so long in fear, in fear. It's time to let go now. let no man make you live your life this way. Oh, 'cause baby girl,
listening to Diasporic Music on Uhuru Radio. We were listening to Sun, the real Sun, who is a Toronto artist, and she's having a CD launch in here in Toronto on January 31st.